Okay, let's do a backup recording here. Right. Are we ready then, chaps? Good. Okay. I think I'm ready too. I don't know. I might have forgotten something, but who cares?
It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah. The essentials are here. You're here. I'm somewhat here, and we have a recording. So everything else should be fine. Like everything else we can replace. Okay. Welcome to this week's big show with a very awesome panel and me, your interim host, because the interim host is, I think he has some work obligations or something. I think he mentioned something. Might be speaking somewhere or doing another show somewhere or something. I don't remember. He mentioned, like Jeff mentioned it, and I forgot already about it. But yeah, anyway, you have to deal with me this week. Ewan is still very, 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 very busy, which is awesome because that also means he's making a lot of money, hopefully, or at least some money. I don't know. But if you're self-employed, work is always better than no work. So I would say that's a pretty safe bet. So I have a really awesome panel today, and I'm going to start with ladies first. Hawa, how are you doing? We haven't had you in a while, right?
No.
It has been a while.
I traveled. I traveled. Nice. I went to Nigeria.
Nice.
And I was hoping to get mom and brother on the show, but that was impossible.
That would have been awesome.
I know.
We should have done that.
But the next time I go, it's on the works. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yes, we have to figure that out.
Absolutely. I'm going to have to try and figure out gens and all of that noise and everything in case it's no light. But yeah.
that's totally fine. That's totally worth it. No, that would have been awesome.
I know.
I would have enjoyed that. You're doing good otherwise, Mike?
Yeah, I'm fine. I've been busy. Busy with a lot of WordPress stuff, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Been all over the place, but I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. It's always fun with you. Next to her, we have Mr. Barking. Rich, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm good, thank you. I'm good. It's good to be back again.
There's no barking in the background, so that's awesome.
No, not tonight. He's not here. I've left the barking somewhere else. Otherwise, yeah, there'd be a lot.
Yeah,
late night barking, early morning barking all the time.
All day barking.
For any reason. Yeah, it's what he knows. It's what he does. He's very good at it. Very good at it.
You know what? You should do a podcast with him. I mean, you like to talk.
Yeah,
he likes to talk.
You should just
do a podcast.
I have done podcasts with previous dogs. That has been a thing.
Nice.
But this one's a bit volatile.
Oh,
I think is the kindest way of putting it. A bit unpredictable. Actually, no, he's very predictable, and it's you can predict that he will behave in a way you really don't want. That's the way it goes.
Isn't that going to make for good entertainment, though?
Exactly.
Not for me. Not for me.
Not for you, but for everybody else. But you're doing good otherwise?
I'm doing very well, thank you, yeah. Nice. I'm over the array of illnesses that have been going around.
Okay, that's good.
And feeling pretty good. I'll probably get COVID soon.
I hope not. Don't,
me too.
Please don't. It's not fun. And last but by no means least, we have Ian. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm busy, busy boy. I've been getting up, getting up early. I mean, I make it sound bad. I mean, I've been working with people from Germany, and they're up an hour earlier than us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's inconsiderate, really.
Exactly.
Is.
Yeah.
So the company I do training for has landed a big contract with a whole suite of backup tools for, it's published. It's the Northern Westphalia universities. So that's a whole chunk of about 30 universities across northern Germany, sort of the edges of Belgium. So we've landed a contract for that. Muggins is doing the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm teaching all their engineers how to use it and how to get set up. So I've got about three or four sessions with teams of about 10 guys to take through how the setup is, and they've got to cope with my English and my bad slang and all the other things that don't always quite work when I try and do. Think, well, no, I'm better at it now. A lot better at it now than I used to be.
No, that's too bad. And I mean, not only have you do you have to go out, get up early, they're also on time. Like it's it's not even like the yeah, Mac show where, or the big show where we can start like 20 minutes late and it's not a problem. Like,
yeah. Oh no. They're punk. Teutonic efficiency at its finest. Mm-hmm. Those guys are very punctual. And they're all there at 9 o'clock. To be honest, I'm happy. That's better than the other way around when I teach my other class, the public classes, when. Mm-hmm. Depending on what part of the world you're from, you either turn up on time or 20 minutes late. And...
Yeah, or there's Hawaiian time, which is like, yeah, you will show up when you show up.
Yeah.
You'll get there when you get there. Like, who cares?
You get there in the end.
No, that sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the teaching sessions not so much because, well, Germans aren't known for having fun, so...
Oh, those got a nice group of guys. They're very friendly. They've been asking lots of questions. Their English is great, so I'm not struggling too much. Mm-hmm. And they're asking sensible questions. Yeah, and they're asking sensible questions. I like it when they ask sensible questions. It means I can give an answer and it's all good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they're fine.
Lucky
other things
you.
I've been doing today is I've also discovered I'm old and stupid.
Okay.
But for the purposes of audio, I'm holding up my little finger, or what remains of it, I should say.
Okay.
I bought a mandolin.
Oh, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. That will do it.
You know what? That will do it. And I spent some Saturday afternoon in A&E getting stuff back together again.
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch.
And it's annoying because every time I move my hand or whack something up, it hurts. Yeah, I had the proper Tom and Jerry bandage on it earlier, mm-hmm. You know, the sort that looks like that. And I go, woo, 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 woo. And then I took that off last night because I was sick of being sort of, I could walk around like that more or less because I couldn't bend my finger or anything. Mm-hmm. So now I can at least bend my finger. It's a bit more comfortable. But, those things are sharp. They're my uncool thing of the week. Don't buy mandolin. If you like all your fingers.
Well, or buy a mandolin and then like buy it like a, what's it called? Like a finger guard?
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. What you do is you be intelligent. And as my wife said, I heard you say the words and then I couldn't get back quick enough to stop you. Because I said, oh, I'll be all right. I don't need that guard.
Oh, no. That's
prompted
worse.
By a selection of swear words and then running to the tap to put my finger under it to see what I've done and then wrap myself in a bit of paper towel thinking, oh, it'll be all right. It's going to stop bleeding in a minute. Mm-hmm. And then 20 minutes later, that's still not stopping bleeding. I'll have to go and get someone to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
Think of my wife. When I suggested to my wife, I might try and cauterize it on the cooker and she said, no, you're going to the hospital. All right.
Anyway,
I'd be more tempted to say, you have a go. Just let me get my camera.
Yeah.
You're not doing that without me filming it. No way.
It would be funny. Anyway, this week in tech, what's been happening? Who has the first story? Who is the quickest? Let's see. As always, they're in the chat, so you should join that.
Go on, I'll throw.
Ian is first.
I've got two stories about Facebook. This week in Facebook, we'll do all this in one place. We'll do all this in one place.
Yeah, I mean, we could do a show about Facebook every week.
We could indeed, but yeah. We don't really need to spend all this time talking about Zuckerberg and his empire.
No,
which is the company we all love to hate because we like the app, but we don't really like what the company stands for. Two things are happening this week that are interesting. There are rumors going around that Facebook are going to do similar to Google did and create some random brand that sits above all of the different properties they own. So there'll be insert name of another product above, and then there'll be Facebook, WhatsApp, and all the other brands sat underneath it. They're not admitting to this is true or not, but it's a rumor. And that seems interesting, particularly they're now trying to distance themselves from all the various scandals this year, including in the UK here at the moment. They've just been fined 50 million by our competition, a markets authority, for deliberately breaking rules in terms of advertising when they bought the company Giphy.
Mm-hmm.
Or Giphy, I guess it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Giphy, yeah.
Yeah, the acquisition of that, apparently there was some dodginess going on in that, and so they've been fined for it. So again, not planning to behave. They've not been behaving real well this week. No. So
never.
It's like the badly behaving toddler in the playgroup every time, isn't it? He's grown up now. We should surely know how to behave with public and not try and finagle your way to make the most money possible. And there's a quote in that Guardian article saying things like, they put astronomical profits before people.
I mean, look at their CEO. Look at their CEO. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Business toddler.
Yeah, I just think it's that toddler that's trying to push the boundaries and seeing just how far can I go.
Yes, it is. It's that one. How much can I test mum by before she'll smack me around the back of the head and send me back to the door again?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, that's a big chunk of business. I mean, pushing to see how far you can take something, how much money also you can make with it. Hopefully.
Before you get caught.
Before you get caught, or before someone says, well, it's maybe not the best thing.
Yeah. You really want to be doing that?
Yeah, but I mean, business is about pushing the envelope in one way or another. I mean, whether it's scientifically or like new business models or whatever you're doing, like it's always about pushing. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if you're doing what everybody else is doing, you're probably going to lose at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it makes sense, but the way Facebook has been doing it, probably not.
Best. you can push with morals and care and responsibility and
ethical business practice. We'll stand behind you. I'd love to stand here and say I've done a brilliant thing. I would love to sit here and say, oh, Facebook have done a brilliant thing. They're going to do this.
Yeah, Facebook.
Every
awesome.
Time I'm coming to say no, they're asses and they've done something stupid again.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, I mean, do we honestly think, or does Facebook honestly think, rebranding or changing the name is going to do anything?
Are they going to? I mean, I can't imagine a word or a name that they're going to come out with that will make me go, yeah, I see why that's good. It's definitely going to be at best.
Okay. It's going to be that. It's like when Google called themselves Alphabet. And we all stick it behind the islands.
Exactly. It's a Google thing. Like, I mean, we had the same problem with Google. Google tried to change the name. It's like, okay.
You know,
and still today, people think it's Google. A lot of people still don't know Alphabet. So.
I
would have heard of Alphabet.
Most people don't know Alphabet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Public in the street doesn't know who Alphabet are. Yeah. They have no idea. It's people like us that do, but.
Yeah.
With Joe Public in the streets, no idea.
Exactly. Well, I think in the article, or like at least on Twitter, it was rumored that it would be Meta.
Yeah.
Which is very Meta.
Because they're building a metaverse, it says in the article.
And they already own the domain, I think. So they could use that. I think they're using it for some Zuckerberg healthcare thingy, so.
Yeah, and there's also kind of like Oculus, and then there's Horizon Workrooms, which is another thing that they're, I think they're all trying to get all that sewn in to kind of make a branding kind of thing around that.
Yeah.
I was watching a video on the metaverse last night.
Any good?
And it all sounds like bollocks.
You're surprised?
I'm not surprised at all, but it was the level of bollocks. It was just
I mean, that is on
brand,
maybe
so. Do you know what, maybe it's a symptom of my age, right? Because I've been around doing internet and technology stuff for a very long time, and the number of times I've heard somebody say something like, and it'll be a virtual supermarket and you can walk around it and pick things off a shelf and all of that, and you think, oh really, mate? Yeah.
Do you remember Second Life?
Yeah.
When I saw that, it reminded me of Second Life.
And even then, that wasn't the first thing. And you think, mate, look, don't want to walk around a shop. That's why we're going to Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. I can say into the air what I want to buy, and this little black box on my desk will just make it come here tomorrow. I don't want to walk around a virtual supermarket. Just let it go. All of you, let it go. And then he was talking about, and you'll be able to use your Fortnite characters in Call of Duty. And no one on earth is asking for that whatsoever. And that would ruin both games. There's a reason why you play different characters in different games. Stop it. It's all... Bollocks.
Is it not people trying to become Ready Player? Is he not trying to sort of make Ready Player One
reality?
I think that's how they kind of imagine it. And they don't seem to really, we don't want that.
Yeah. And
it's nice to read about, it's fun to read about, but I don't want to do it.
Ready Player One didn't have supermarkets.
No,
it didn't. Because it's boring. So you say that, and I would love to see what statistics they're getting that makes them think that this is actually going to work, because they must be getting this data from somewhere. Not our generation, but maybe the younger generation.
I know where it's coming from. It's someone's behind. That's where it's coming from.
And the one word that kept cropping up, of course, was blockchain. Blockchain technology is going to make all of this possible. We could put a character from a game in another game now. No, blockchain technology making this possible.
That sounds like the same kind of bullshit where you get the words machine learning.
Yes.
That's another thing which I can smell the waft.
The waft of
BS coming towards me the minute someone says MI.
They were doing BS bingo. That's what they were doing.
Yeah. How many words can we get in there?
I mean, it's like blockchain, everything. Like, what's missing? Like, cryptocurrency? Like,
yeah, that'll be
I think Facebook is already working with that.
Cryptocurrency, obviously.
I've got another story here of Facebook announcing a pilot of their cryptocurrency wallet. Which is in the US and Guatemala, and they were going to do a currency with it that they've not done because they were told not to. It's a bit ambiguous in the details around that, but it's like apparently someone says lawmakers said don't do that.
I think
lawmakers have never specifically told me
in the US
not to do something.
I think in the US they did actually. I think there was a story that someone in the US, like some agency, said, don't do that.
That would worry me. Yeah, don't buy Facebook cryptocurrency. That's terrifying. There are some that are actually
anything
good and aim to do beneficial things in the world, not Facebook.
Yeah. Mm.
He kind of creeps me out when I look at him as well. I don't want to be harsh. But there's something just dead behind those eyes, isn't there? I'm sorry, Mark. I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. Never mind.
I see something else, but I can't say that.
It's soulless.
I can't see that here on the stream. So.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And of all the big tech CEOs, he's the only one that really makes me shiver.
There are some others. Like, if I look at Bezos, I'm like,
I still think he lives under a volcano.
Oh yeah, he might be. He would be the right guy for that.
He would be the guy. I think he lives under a volcano. I think
either
under a volcano
or. Oh, now it starts to make sense. That's why That's why he has that space company. It was called Blue Origin.
He wants
to build his moon base.
Absolutely. I think what he'll have as well, if he has the volcano, it'll be like Thunderbirds. So the top will open up and the rocket will shoot out the top. And every schoolboy will wet themselves all over the world.
Such a cool idea.
I do worry.
Including me,
Jeff Bezos,
it has to be said.
I do worry that Jeff Bezos has seen Moonraker.
And you go live on a moon base.
You never know.
Or wit in the earth watching.
Poison the earth and repopulate it with beautiful people, and him, of course. I'm being so mean tonight. I'm so sorry. So sorry.
It's far too easy to pick holes in.
Oh, yes.
It is.
Yeah.
Far too easy.
Well, it's... Those two, I mean, you can think about the Virgin guy, like, whatever you want. Like,
He's got his own island, as Branson.
Yeah. Branson is like... I mean, he's kind of a cowboy. Like, space cowboy.
Yeah.
But Bezos and Zuckerberg, I'm like, I don't know. It's just something feels off. Like, it's like the radar is going off. I don't know why. Yeah. Anyway, who has the next story? That would be Hawa.
Yes.
Let's see.
So we've got apparently some schools using facial recognition to buy lunch. Get the kids to buy lunch.
Really?
I mean, their answer to this is because solve the issues that they've come across with COVID. And it did get me thinking as to how many different companies might start employing facial recognition software to try and resolve this under the guise of COVID.
A lot of them. I mean,
yeah.
Wasn't there this thing about was that Moscow? Like the facial recognition to pay for your like your underground ticket or something? Like I think it's everywhere. Like more and more places are doing that. I mean, you can use mostly your face to, like, I think they've used it at airports to, like, board your planes.
They use it at airports to get you through with your passport. You can go through. That never works for me.
No, I struggle. Yeah. Sometimes never I struggle with that myself.
And to the point that one of them actually said to me, she was like, oh, it's because you changed your hair. And I was like, that makes
if
no
that's
difference.
The problem, it's, then.
Just be facial recognition.
My face. It's not looking at me.
It's not my hair.
Yeah, no, but I think there was a trial at some airport somewhere where they actually used your face as your boarding pass.
Ah.
Stuff like that. So, like, I don't remember where it was, but like it was the year before, I think.
Mm. So, well, this is for me because it's kids in school.
Yeah. There's no reason to do it at all.
The parents signed off on it, apparently. They said 97% of parents did sign off.
Yeah, but you know how that goes. They'll just get something to sign it. I mean, in school, you get like get to sign something almost every day. You're like, yeah, fine.
We were talking about BS Bingo. If you look at the statement from a spokesman for North Ayrshire Council, said our catering systems contract coming to a natural end, and we have the opportunity to install IT infrastructure, make our service more efficient and enhance pupil experience using innovative technology. God, the smell's getting really strong in here. Jeez. But, you know, oh, man, it's all those things. My teenagers, they use it's thumbprints at my school for the for paying for stuff. Pretty standard in the UK, I think, quite a lot of places. Say kids bringing money and you just put we use a system called parent pay, and you top up you chop up their thumb effectively. They go in, they put the scanner, they know they've got enough money to buy their dinner. Yeah. You know, but I can't see why.
We used to have dinner tickets. What was
wrong
with
that? Yeah, I did.
You'd save go in on Monday and you'd buy a week's worth of dinner tickets, and then that was it.
We didn't even
when I was a kid, it was tickets.
We didn't have school lunches at all. So there's that.
That definitely solves the problem.
That solved the problem,
We'd have Jamie Oliver back in, though, if we did that.
Yeah, we would.
Yeah, but I mean, what's wrong with, like, a standard, like, the contactless payment card?
Yeah.
Because like, a child, to be fair, if you could make this work, because all our kids have got access cards to get into the schools now.
Yeah, exactly.
So they wear around their neck, so why not incorporate contactless payment in that? That would work better. I mean, it's one thing. If they forget and leave it at home, they go hungry and can't get in.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what parents are for. Usually they have to come
come back to school to bring the card.
Yeah, that's usually
what
I did.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah. Even if they forgot, they actually wouldn't be able to get into the school. Mm-hmm. So... Mm.
Well, a friend will let them in quite often. That's what happens to our I know from experience what happens with our one. When you see the card hanging on the thing, has he got into school? Oh, someone let me in, it was all right. Oh. Forget his head if it wasn't screwed on. But
I mean, in a sense, yes, it is probably, let's call it easier because they don't have to do anything. Like you don't have to you can literally like walk to the checkout and like, or even walk away and it registers it. Mm. So for sure it's probably easier. But I mean, the question is, do we really need that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've also noticed that facial rec started turning up in the UK in co-ops.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. One of ours has got, they take a picture of you while you're paying. Well, it's just a little, it's been recently revamped, one of the little, a little sort of like a estate-type supermarket. And it's not particularly, in a not particularly dodgy area or anything. And it's where all the students hang out. It's near the university here in York. And there's a little thing. It shows your face up on the thing as you're paying for your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at self-checkouts, that's quite common, actually.
Yeah, self-checkouts, they've got that. That's starting appearing a bit more, which is interesting. Because like I remember I saw... I think I brought an article a month or two back about they were trialling it further down south, and it seems to be becoming more of a thing. It's either we've got to get used to that being just like a CCTV camera on the corner of a street, being part of everyday life, or we've got to turn around and say, no, you're not doing that. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just that's kind of a point. Just because we can doesn't mean we should.
We should, yeah.
I mean, at this Absolutely. Point, we could literally have a camera at every like square inch of every place in the world if we wanted to.
Ooh, I thought we did, London.
Yeah, yeah, it's getting yeah. like it's yeah, so we're getting like there. The but we're getting CCTVs there. Everywhere. Yeah.
But as I said, like, just because we can doesn't mean we should. And I think this is a good case for that. I mean, just because, yes, this technology exists and yes, it works. But the question is, should we? Like, do we really need to scan the faces of our children to pay for their dinner? Like, is that the best way to do that?
No, we don't. We don't need our schools to spend quite a lot of money
exactly.
on a very expensive system. I'd rather they bought more books, yeah. laptops for the children that can't afford them. If you're going to spend it on IT, buy laptops for the kids that can't afford them.
Yeah.
Go and do something useful with the money, for God's sake. Don't buy face recognition cameras.
Exactly.
Jesus, no.
Keep that simple. Keep that simple. It has worked. And invest that money in something that's actually helpful.
Yeah, completely. 2 UK schools apparently have done it as well. I can't see which
I'm pretty sure there are more.
There will be more. It will start. I mean, I'm sure the company who's designed this has got, who did a, North Ayrshire probably got a bit of a kickback from them for doing it.
Oh, for sure.
To help promote it a bit.
Yeah.
And then a lot of other schools will jump onto the same bandwagon and they'll make a nice little run out of it until either it dries up or they gets pulled the ICO decides that no, you're going to put you're not doing that.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't work and then they have to go back.
Yeah.
But they would have made their money.
Yeah, they'll have made their money. Sure, they'll have made a bit of money first. Again, it's the same thing. We're back to opportunism and Zuckerbergs.
Mm. Yeah.
Aren't we? We are. We're back to opportunism again.
Mm. Yeah. It's crazy. Rich, what's your story?
Bear with me. Here we go. Steam bans blockchain games and NFT games on Steam, but Epic Games say, we'll have a go at that.
I mean, I didn't even know that was a thing, like blockchain and NFT games.
Right. Now then.
Oh, you have to explain this to the old people.
Okay. I will admit, I'm a little hazy on the NFT thing. I mean, you know what an NFT is? We've talked about it.
Yeah, we've talked about it before.
That certificate that a thing is original and that sort of thing. Mm. But how do you make that into a game? The way they're making this into a game is if you imagine sort of RPGs, a bit Pokemon-y, but instead of just being given 3 Pokemon to start, you buy them as NFTs and your monsters are unique and work in this game. And you buy the cryptocurrency that accompanies that to be able to buy things in the game. And the idea is that, you know, some of the next big thing is going to be play to earn. So as you play the game, you will accumulate the currency necessary to play the game. And I get the feeling this is going to be something some people will try and sort of do well out of. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can play the game enough and are good enough at it, you can accumulate a lot of money.
Is that going to be real money in the end? Will that be real actualizable money or will that just be in-game currency that you can't take anywhere else?
No, it's actual cryptocurrency, which can be
exchanged for currency,
And therein lies Steam's problem.
Yeah, because, I mean, the currency thing, that has existed for forever. I mean, it's coins, right?
But this is stuff that it seems that their problem is that this is something that has actual real-world value. As crazy as that might seem, these little pictures of monsters, each of which are unique, have potentially insane real-world value. Mm. I don't know.
So their problem is that someone other than them is making money.
Well, I think I get the feeling that by hosting these games and by making these games available and by the potential, I mean, God, how many stories have we read about child spends X amount on parents' credit card buying donuts for the Simpsons game? Mm-hmm. Now, the potential for this is staggering.
True.
And it feels like this is a world of hurt from a legal standpoint for Steam to distribute and support in any way these games. And I get that I could be talking garbage, of course, but I get the feeling that this might be something that Epic Games discover a little bit down the road if they start looking into it. It's, oh, that's, yeah, epic. We'll be cool. We'll be crazy. We'll do it. Oh, oh my God. Kind of. Oh, no.
And then they will sue someone. So.
Yeah, then they'll sue Apple again for some reason. It would be an interesting way for them to avoid other people's payment systems.
Yeah, that's true.
It could be a thing. But this is the bit of NFTs that I understand the most. I can get behind the idea of people being into building a little army of monsters or creatures or whatever it happens to be, and those being unique and thusly desirable to other players of the game. And desire and demand building up around that. That makes more sense to me than a collection of random pictures by insert random artist here. I'm interested to see where this goes. It's potentially very interesting. It's potentially a lot of people are going to make a lot of money out of this.
Yeah.
And they're only going to become bigger. This is one of those things.
For me, the question is, what is Valve's problem with it? Why are they banning it? What's the reason behind it? I'm not sure I understand that. Sure, there is potential for abuse, but that's the same if you have in-game coins or stuff. Can be abused.
It is, but there's a lot that goes on outside of the game. You don't even need to be in the game to buy the currency. I could buy some now.
That's true.
Right.
And it is when you buy sort of coins for use in a game, generally you can't then swap those back for cash, and you can't accumulate them, wait for them to go up in value and sell them. So there's actually, when you start looking at it, a massive difference between what EA do with loot boxes and that kind of thing and this, and that lack of real world value to loot boxes is kind of how EA are just skirting under the law for now. Certainly in this country, I think it's, if I could be selling loot box content back to other people, I think there'd be some legal trouble there.
Yeah. There's a tweet embedded in the story from, it's not from Valve because they didn't comment, but it's from, I think, one of the games that was actually banned. They're saying Steam's point of view is that items have value and they don't allow items that can have real world value on their platform. It's a standpoint. It's a standpoint that you can take. You can say, virtual is virtual, real world is real world, those are separate. It's like, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm
okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with them making that choice. It's a choice for them to make. And of course, that's not set in stone. Who knows what will happen in whatever amount of time. And maybe they need some time to look at how to implement things properly and deal with it.
If there's enough money in it, they will find a way.
Exactly. If there's money to be made, people will try and make it. Yeah. That's for sure. And I think that's really what Epic Games are getting at. Mm-hmm. Before we say no to something, let's see just how rich we could become.
It's true.
Because it could be staggering. And
this is the theme of tonight: profiteering.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been looking at some that are looking to launch soon, and the financial promise behind them is staggering. And for some of them, it will happen. You just don't know which ones or when or how. That's the interesting fun part. So we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
anything could happen.
Yeah. We'll see what Epic does. I think that will be the interesting part there. How they do, and how much trouble they get into.
I was going to say how much trouble they get into. That's what you got to watch.
I think one thing, sure, there's potential for abuse, but I think there's also potential for government stepping in and saying, hey, this is dangerous.
I think various governments are at fairly different stages with crypto stuff and NFTs. Oh, I've actually not heard any government news of governments making statements about NFTs at all yet.
No, but there have been some.
There probably have been.
There have been some. Especially when it comes to gaming, there is a bigger focus on that. It's not NFTs in general, it's more the gaming stuff.
Mm. But I don't know where they all stand with crypto stuff. Mm. It varies. Some are very pro that. Yeah. Some are very not pro that. Some are clearly, I'm saying nothing. Some have, I think I'm going to make some money out of this. Yeah, so
some have abandoned.
Let's just leave it where it is. Thank you.
Some have abandoned their like crappy real world currency for crypto because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know where it's going to go, but yeah, some people are going to do all right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So for my story, I don't know. I have a hard time deciding. Do you want to hear about like an awesome AI story, or do you want to hear about Google Play Store?
I'd want to hear about an AI. I'm okay. Wondering if it's one story that I looked at and I thought, no, I won't. Go on.
Okay. Then let's go with that one. So it's something I've talked about on the show a couple of times because I have some real-world experience with that myself since I work for a medical software company. There is some research. I mean, there's a lot of research going on in AI in general. There's also quite a bit of research going on in AI and healthcare because there's a lot of potential in that one. And there have been a lot of studies. And this one specifically is, I thought, very apropos because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So it kind of makes sense to talk about that. And the story is that AI is helping to make breast cancer, hopefully at some point history. I mean, right now it's just reducing. It totally makes sense. Like if you think about how breast cancer is detected usually, it's for the most part a person looking at a scan and deciding if there's something there that should be checked out. That's for the most part how it's diagnosed. And then there's like further steps. And I know from as I said, other research that I've seen like 2-3 years ago for brain cancers or brain tumors in general, that was like crazy, crazy accurate. Like it was more accurate at that point. Like I said, oh, it was like 2018, I want to say. It was vastly more accurate than experts. Like if someone took like a brain scan and then looked at it and tried to decide if there is a tumor or not, AI was much better at it because it's pattern. It's mostly pattern matching. It's like trying to find the outliers. And it could detect it earlier. And I think that's probably, I mean, that's the same thing here. Like the scans are just more accurate or can be identified better.
That's really interesting. Consider, and the NHS have been testing it, says here.
Yeah.
Purely because we've a shortage of radiographers at the minute.
Yeah.
We haven't got enough to clear the backlog.
Yeah,
so
that's the
in
other
that
part.
Respect.
Yeah.
And I mean, so in that part, but again, pandemic is again the reason for this. Mm-hmm. So that gives us another tool. That's gotta be fantastic, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean we can do it more often. It can be more accurate. Like there are a lot of upsides if this works, right? I mean we seem to see that it's working.
Yeah, and I think there's also I saw a bit in this article suggesting there were better ways of testing now that avoided the basically a couple of glass plates where the scans that you count the breast between to do the scan, which has been the classic method they've done for years.
Yeah.
That they're getting better methods for that. And you don't have to go through I know my mum always said it was horrible when she went in to have those done, but sort of passed by that. So I think after 50 in the UK, you get invited in to have a scan. It's something like after 50.
Unless you have other risk factors, it's usually 50 plus. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you've got previous family members. That
For example, there are some other cases. Like if you're a heavy smoker, for example, you usually start you earlier.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Or some certain other conditions that can lead to that.
But you know, if they can come up, that's got to be a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, it is, or I think still one of the leading causes for death in the world, like the leading form of cancer. And it used to be under research for a very, very long time. I mean, I think it mentioned in the article, like we've known about breast cancer since basically Egyptian times. Like this is not a new thing that we discovered.
This is not a new thing. I remember seeing an article about from the late 18th, early 19th century about about breast cancer and a woman writing about and describing what it was like to have a mastectomy in those times. It's grim reading. It really is quite grim reading.
You don't want to think about that.
No. She said that they just said that it'll happen in the next 2 weeks. We're not going to tell you when we're coming. So it was a bit easier to not dread this particular point in time where you're going to have to go through something fairly uncomfortable, very uncomfortable kind of thing. But the description,
you can Google and
find
that
particular story. You can Google and find the story, I'm sure, because it was linked to in a Guardian or a BBC News article that I was reading at the time, and it was very harrowing to read. But yeah, we've come a long way.
Yeah, we definitely have.
Because there's now things where I was looking at a news article where they'll inject small pellets of a radioactive element, which is enough for small cancers to kill them outright, with being very minimally invasive, which again is fabulous. It's what you want.
Yeah, but it's still, it's still horrible. Like, I have a friend who had to go through that. Fortunately, she discovered it early because I think her mom had it before, so she was aware of it. But it's no fun. So.
No. Actually, you're just saying about that. I've noticed in the article as I was flicking down, in the 70s, a woman diagnosed. I mean, that's still not that long ago.
Yeah.
40% chance of surviving the next 10 years. Yeah. And that's doubled now. And you do drugs and cutting-edge screening has improved things. But that's terrible that it's taken that long to get some kind of handle on.
Yeah, but AI is, as I said, that's one
use for AI now.
Yeah, exactly. We've heard so many bad stories about AI and AI is going to kill us and all of that. And there are some good things that are coming out of that. And medical field is definitely a big area for that. Because, as I said, it doesn't replace the human element and it doesn't replace the people there. But it does replace the where it's purely data. Where it's about detecting patterns or detecting outliers in data and figuring out what's going on.
So I presume for this, it would be sort of thing that we've got 1,000 scans, we give it to the AI. It batters those down to 100 that need reviewing by a human.
Yeah exactly.
And that then makes that work a world better for the radiographers. We've got to kind of make their work a bit lighten their loaders in some manner. That's a good thing. Yeah.
But it's getting so good that it's not just about battering it down to a human. I mean, ultimately, a human is still going to look at it and decide. The computer is not going to send you to do a biopsy. It doesn't order it. It shows it to the doctor. The doctor orders it. So there's always a human involved. But it's getting so good that, they're much better than the humans, and they have much better rates at detecting and also less false positives.
Which is the other part. Also would give the patient something as well. Would help them out knowing, it's been looked at. At least I've been referred.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting in saying the 1 in 10. Because my friend had that, and that's when she went this February. So it came back again. With the relapse, but
exactly. I mean, that's true. Yeah, it's not just about the initial detection. It's also for monitoring down the line. Yeah. So it's, as I said, it's a really good story, and it's one of those cases. As I said, I saw it for brain cancer and brain tumors in general, like brain abnormalities in general. It could be anything. Where it was very, very effective. I think at that point it was the professionals, the best people at detecting it had a 60% accuracy rate. So I mean, 60% when they said there was something, or if they didn't say it, there was nothing. And the computer, I think the AI at that point was 96 or 97%. So it was an order of magnitude better. I said there was still a human being ultimately checking it and making sure it's true.
True, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, as I said, they don't go in and take your brain out or do a mastectomy. There's a human check, and then there's still further tests. Then there's usually a biopsy or something. There's still it's just the initial scan that they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, it's that very apropos for the month and very important story. Completely. And I hope this gets rolled out to more places.
Yeah. Good AI. Good
mm-hmm. That's a good story and good use of it, and proper good use of AI.
Yeah.
rather than seeing my child's got enough money to pay for his lunch.
Yeah, or Facebook knows what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With their special glasses.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
If they really knew what I was thinking, they couldn't handle it.
You can't handle the truth.
Yeah, exactly. This podcast and all the other podcasts on the network are supported by TSO Host. TSO Host is like a really awesome company. We've worked with them for a couple of years. They've sponsored our servers. The fact that you can hear us and or see us if you're watching live or you're watching the video is 100% due to them. I don't think we would be able to afford this if they didn't pay for the two awesome servers that we have. They're really good. We've never had any issues. The migration to the new servers was like basically a couple of clicks to set up to install the server, and then it was on us to move everything over. We've heard so many good things also from listeners, like that have signed up for whatever they wanted, whether it was like a server or like a WordPress hosting package or like domain names, stuff like that. They've always been very happy, and if there were ever any questions or any issues that came up, there was always like the support has always been really, really like good and responsive and nice and really helpful. Like it wasn't the usual, you get a canned response and then you have to respond again and tell them that they didn't read your message. Like that's not how TSO Host does it. And so they've been really, really good to us. And the cool thing is, like all they want for the sponsorship is that you give them some brand recognition. They don't want you to buy anything. I mean, for sure, if you need something, yeah, go check them out. But like, it's not required. All they want is that you go to the social media that we just talked about, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, and just mention them and just give them a shout out, and that's all they ask for. But in case you're the market for something, set domain, servers, they have some hosting packages for websites like WordPress and so on. We have an offer code BTN20 that you can use, and you get 20% off, which is also very awesome. They didn't have to do that, but they did. And the other sponsor that we have is IMand Max. Callum's here every Friday on the Mac Show talking to us with like about Apple and everything going on, and also like injecting quite a bit of like experience with like fixing Macs and fixing Apple devices and how the third-party repair market is going. And I have my personal experience with them. Like I actually shipped a broken Mac from Austria to the UK to have it fixed by Callum, and he actually figured out what was wrong. Compared to the local repair shop here, not an Apple, like an Apple Apple store, but like a third party, who just looked at it or probably didn't even look at it and just said, well, we're going to replace the logic board, and it's 750 euros. And Callum figured out it was a battery and replaced it for like 250, so something like that. So yeah, they're really awesome. They do, they will go in and do like chip level repairs. If there's a broken, whatever, a broken RAM chip or something on it, they will go in and fix it. I think the only thing Callum doesn't do is anything cloth. So the HomePod is unfortunately out of scope for them. Apple Watches are, I think, very difficult too, because they're very, very tiny and very dense and hard to fix really. But iPhones, Macs, like anything like that, they do. If you need to, if you're a business and you want to lease Apple devices, they do offer that. If you want to buy refurbished Macs or refurbished devices, like iPads, iPhones, Macs, they have. They always have nice offers. Hank kind of mentioned last week that they had some, I think it was some iMacs with SSDs, so updated SSDs that they put in, that are really awesome and relatively inexpensive for the devices and will probably serve you for quite some time. So yeah, if you're in the market for anything, head over to imandmacs.com. And they also have an offer. If you mention BTN, you will get 5% off. So thank you also to Iam and Max for helping us out and for letting Callum join us every week. Time for the cool thing. Howa, what do you have for us?
I've got, I don't know if I've put this in before, but...
doesn't matter because we can't remember, so it's fine.
I can't remember. But yeah, it's for... basically, I was looking for something that would help me not carry multiple phones, because I now have to keep more than one line, and I just wanted something that could come through to my mobile. So I just found Twilio. I think they're open source, or they work with open source technology anyway. But it's quite easy to set up, so you don't have to be a coder, and you can set things up even with your, if you've got a mobile phone, just set out of hours if you're a sole trader or someone that's, I don't know, got a small little, I was going to say pop-up. I don't know how many of those are still still around. But yeah, it just helps. So if you set up an online store and you don't want to completely advertise your mobile, you can just get a number and then divert it. And yeah, set a message that reads for out of hours. So yeah,
nice.
Been helpful.
That's really cool. It's good to know. Rich, what's your cool thing?
Come back to me.
Sorry. Okay, he's still looking.
Good. I'm still looking for then anything frantic.
Ian always makes us spend money.
Exactly.
Yeah. You won't spend money on... You won't spend money...
I don't want to spend money.
You don't click on my link if you want to have a look at it. Don't spend money on it. It's way too much money. But it's cool. It's undoubtedly a cool thing. And there's one after it, which is a cool thing, which doesn't cost any money, and I recommend it. You can get a Playmobil Star Trek Enterprise with characters. But 400 notes, I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? It came up in my Facebook feed the other night, and I thought, and if you scroll down, Rich, if you haven't spent enough money already, you can buy an 18 van. and a Marty's truck.
And Marty's pickup truck.
Yes. Honestly, I mean, they're all trying to get money out of old people, aren't they now?
Yeah.
The toy manufacturers, but God, that looks bloody lovely. I really like that. For the fact it costs so much. Otherwise, if that had been 100 quid, I'd have said to my family, get me one for Christmas, and it could sit up there behind me on my shelf and look bloody brilliant. But sadly, £400 of my money is not going to get spent on that.
It's too much, isn't it?
It's why way
does it have a USB
much,
port? What does
mind
it
you, there is so
it
lights a Marty up. Advent calendar, Back to the Future. Advent calendar's there. So that'd be quite interesting.
Much I think I might definitely need one of those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Playmobil Advent calendars are lovely. And they're not very expensive normally either. No, they're not. It's 30 quid. No, they're not.
Oh, and they have a Western Back to the Future Playmobil set with the clock tower and a train. Oh my God.
Things we didn't need. And quickly moving on to my other one, just to save everybody's wallets, is a neat little app that I discovered called Hush. It gets rid of the would you like to accept the cookies on this webpage alerts.
Oh,
that's all it does.
Oh,
awesome. That's all it does. It works on Apple though. I don't know if there's an equivalent one on Android/Chrome.
Oh, there probably is.
They're more likely, is, but this one works on Safari, and this one works on Safari on the and on the iPhone and the iPad. And I've dropped it on my laptop at the moment. It's working really great. I'm gonna have to stick it on my phone when I get five minutes.
That's the important thing. Like with iOS 15 / Safari 15 now, or actually Safari could do it before, but like with iOS 15, you can have that on your phone or on your iPad. Mm.
Yeah, and I really like the new iOS on my phone. I like having the search bar down at the bottom where my thumbs are. That's so much better than reaching to the top of the screen and reaching back down. I'm impressed with the updates from 15. But that's just a lovely little app that does something very simple.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
To save people's wallets from the Zabby site of looking at all those wonderful sort of toys you can buy for big people.
Well,
not things
Christmas
to play with,
coming,
are they?
So...
Yeah, I think I need... I'm disturbed how much I want that Enterprise.
I know. I saw it and I was, and I didn't see the price. I was thinking, I might get one of them. How much is that? Oh my life.
So what I'm hearing is if someone has exactly too much money, and there are two people at least here on the stream that have some ideas for that.
Yeah, we've got some ideas. If you've got too much money, you just need to spend it.
Yeah.
Go buy yourself a Star Trek.
No,
go
buy yourself a Playmobil Star Trek. Buy you a Star Trek.
Buy me one, yeah.
Buy us all one. We'd all like one, I think, here. It just seems like everyone here would enjoy to have one sat in our house. I would love to have one sat up there. And
yeah. I'll take it.
It would look fantastic.
Put it on display. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Completely. But I am. Not
very good. Very good pick. Rich, did you get something?
Okay, I'll tell you a cool technology thing I've had this week, and you can all sort of giggle at me because I'm aware that I am so far behind the times with this, it's ridiculous, right? I never went anywhere before the event. I didn't do anything. And if on the rare occasion that I did, I drove. And now that the world is starting to happen again and I can go places, I'm trying to do that. And I'm actually traveling by train where possible. And I have discovered that you can buy train tickets on your phone.
Wow.
You can?
Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
And it has blown like 10 my years mind ago.
Can.
That I can just do this thing on my phone and go in and just get on the train. And the man goes, have you got a ticket? And you go, no, but I've got a phone. And it sounds completely like the simplest thing. And I know the rest of the world has been doing it for years. And it's really not that impressive or amazing, but it's just been another thing for me over the last few weeks that have made me think, you know, we are living in the future now.
We really
and
are.
I like are. That. We have giant Playmobil Enterprises and train tickets on our phone. And I've been, you know, just buying cinema tickets on my phone. Again, I know you've all been doing that for years. Big whoop. I know. But I was recluse. I didn't go anywhere. And now I'm doing it and it's amazing. And I'm just sort of catching up.
I'm glad you're finding the world.
It's a bit weird.
It's a lovely thing to know you're finding the world and discovering these new technologies.
Yeah. I mean, I knew these things existed. I just never used them. They were for people that did stuff.
Rich is finally catching up with us.
Catching up, yeah. I was going to say, Rich, come down to London.
You've just gone through like 10 years in the last like month.
I have. It's been amazing. And I'm just so excited to see what I discover
actually,
next.
25 years, because 2020 counts for 15. So.
Exactly. It does, doesn't it? It does indeed. So, yeah, I'm just very excited. So I won't recommend a specific app or anything. That'll be local to wherever mm-hmm. you live. And you've been using it for 10 years already. But, you know, I'm very happy. So I just want to share that with you all.
Yeah, I'm. I have to say, I'm a big fan of all those apps. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, no matter where you go in the world, like most places nowadays have them, and they're awesome. I mean, one, they're awesome for people traveling. Like, if you come to Germany and you don't speak German, you can just use the app and get your ticket there, and you don't have to deal with like anything.
Yeah.
I went to Sweden and I got their local app, and now I still keep getting emails in Swedish about train delays and things. Mm-hmm. Keep trying to unsubscribe, but can't find the right button.
It's like, where's the button?
It's like, now I know what Apple Wallet is for. It's just been that app that goes in my unwanted, undeletable folder, and it just sits there. But now I get it now. It's to make it useful.
You finally get
it's
it.
It's good. Yeah. That might console Tim Cook for me leaving Apple Music without ever listening to The Weeknd, which Spotify have not felt it necessary to recommend to me once, Tim. Just saying. I knew what saying, you were up to.
You know, Tim Cook put that in like on purpose. He was like, that rich guy, he has to listen
it
to it.
It just felt so malicious. It was all the time, everything. But do you want to listen to The Weeknd? No, don't. Leave me. I'm sorry, Tim. I know. I think it affected him personally.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
I'm sorry, but
okay. My cool thing. Actually, let me pop that in the chat as well. My cool thing is a. Oh, okay, that's not the link. My cool thing is a book. It's a book that has been around. I don't even remember when was this released. Does it mention that here? It's Bryan Cranston's "A Life in Parts." I've owned this book for a couple of years. So it's at least a couple of years old, but I did re-listen to it. It does not mention it here, like in Goodreads. Yeah, anyway, 2016. Okay, October 2016. So it's almost 5 years, exactly 5 years old. It's a really good book. As I said, I've had that in my Audible, and I've listened to it once, and I just felt like listening to it again. And it is super interesting because it's kind of his life in, I mean, as it says in the title, like it's his life in his roles, in his parts. Like he starts out with like the simple things, and you get the feeling that, like, he really like he and he says as much. He does not care about the money. He does not care about the fame. He really cares about the characters, and he cares about the things that like that make them interesting and that make them like challenging also for him as an actor. Part of the reason why he was like in the like. Basically all, like, especially the later roles that he had, like in Breaking Bad and so on, is because he wanted a challenging role. And he actually pitched, for his role in Breaking Bad. Like, he wanted that, and he schemed to not have to audition for it, to just get it, because he really wanted that. He wanted to play that character that goes from good to bad. And as I said, it's so interesting. And the audiobook is narrated by him, and he's a really good narrator. He is really good. Like, you know, some people, they're like, yeah, they've written a book, but it would have been better if someone else read it. It's just not good. But he is he's a good actor, and he's very good at like telling a story. He's a good storyteller, which probably makes sense. That's why he's a good actor. And as I said, it was like he goes all the way from like the smallest roles somewhere on a stage that he did to like the big ones. It's not about his fame, and it's about what made the role for him interesting, what made it tick for him, and why did he do it, and. As I said, it's just a really good, really, really, really good book. Like, what his thinking was behind it. Like, you get some insights actually in like how he approached certain roles, and what he thought, like what he thought, and where he pushed also sometimes for different directions. Where he said, like, where he put himself into a role and said, okay, this is how this person comes to that conclusion, and. Where he disagreed with the writers and said he would do that. And yeah, as I said, really good book. Highly recommend it. His movies too, but like this is a good book.
That's £5 spent. Good idea. That's just gone onto my Kindle. Yeah. Highly recommend. I like the guy generally, so it's a, that was a no. That, I didn't know that existed, so that's a no-brainer. I spent £5.
Exactly. There's a new show with him. I've forgotten. Yeah, because something's coming up where he plays another very interesting character.
I saw something. So he's playing LBJ.
Yeah, it could be. Let me see. Almost like there's. I wish there was this website that you could just go to and like look up actors and movies and just see.
Oh, yeah. I was IMDb.
Yeah, I would name that like IMDb something. Like, sounds like a good name.
Yeah.
Brian, there he is, Brian Cranston. Let's see what he is in right now. Upcoming shows. Oh no, something else. IMDb has changed the layout. This is annoying.
Okay. Oh, yeah, he's in the stand.
Yeah. Oh, Your Honor King. is the show that I think I thought of. But that was the one. Yeah, the stand. Like there are not of good shows. I mean, he has been in Family Guy, obviously. So yeah, I mean Malcolm in the Middle, I think is probably one of the one of the first ones that most people recognize.
Yeah, that's
him. But it wasn't by far his first thing he did. But
oh no, I recognized his face when I saw him on that, and he's been in a million things as well. Hasn't
yeah,
he,
quite a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean he started in 1968, so he's been around.
Like, no, I'm looking forward to having a bit of a dip in to see what he's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he does crop up in if you watch a lot of 80s and 90s TV shows. You'll occasionally get to the. Is that Brian Cranston?
Yeah, he was an
is
airwolf.
The guy in Baywatch recklessly driving the boat along the beach. Yeah. David Hasselhoff has to go and have a word.
Yeah,
is he the guy driving that car with Mulder and Scully in the back? Mm-hmm. And he can't stop in case his head explodes.
Yeah,
and all, exactly. He's all over the place. Yeah, he's all over.
He was an Airwolf, for example. He was played the bad guy quite a bit here and there.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a bit part actor in the UK, and he's been in all of the BBC BBC long running drama series, if not once or twice. In all the long-running soap operas, at least once or twice as different characters. He said, yeah, it's easy money, though, quite often. If you've not been in for a while, I'll let you back in. He's been in Heartbeat twice as different people, things like that. Mm-hmm. He's from Yorkshire, so he's, I know him through children sort of thing. And he says, he ends up in a bed in one of the hospital dramas, you know, with some affliction or another kind of thing, you know, and he's had a run in one of them as an actor, a guy called Andy Dunn. He was in, the big thing he was known for was being in Dinner Ladies comedy show. If anyone ever saw that, he was in that.
Yeah.
It was Victoria Wood, but yeah.
It's one of those faces that you just see and you're like, oh.
Yeah, again, his face turns up in all sorts of things. When I saw him and I first met him, I thought, I know your face from somewhere. Where do I know your face from?
He's like everywhere.
You know, because it was completely out of context. It was a thing about their children were swimming in were learning to swim together, and was that, you know, dad's talking to one another waiting for them to finish. And I know your face from somewhere. And yes, my mind. it's one of those strange things.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's the end of the show. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for being with me and like the interim host. Tell the good people where they can find everything awesome that you're doing.
You can find me on Twitter as Howie A, and you can also find me in the Slack room and here on The Big Show.
Yes. Definitely worth following her on Twitter.
Yeah, I need to look at my Twitter handles in a while, but yeah, because I think I know I have two, so I need to consolidate them into one.
Yeah, I know that. I have too many. Rich, how about you?
You can find me on earlymorningbarking.com and the YouTube channel by the same name. And at Barking at Twitter, still not Barking Football Club. Barking Football Club. Got one today from they've got a player who's leaving the team after being with them for years. But unfortunately, in all that time, didn't learn their Twitter handle. So I've been getting lots of grateful messages from his fans all day. It's been fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome. They should just hire you as their social media manager or something.
Yeah, that could be a good thing. You should get in touch and see if you can get some arrangement going.
I always send a message like, thanks for playing. All of that. Yeah.
Nice. You're nice. And Ian, how about you?
I will be in the Slack room at TIOA, turn it up and back on again. I'm on Facebook. You can find me otherwise somewhere sat here talking to some people from some foreign country, telling them how Commvault works. That's it. If you're learning about Commvault and you're going on a training class and you're in EMEA, there's a good chance you might talk to me soon.
Yes.
And I'll be pleased to talk to you. My name's Ian Grant.
Awesome. Thank you. You can find me every week here on The Big Show and also on Fridays on The Mac Show. You can find like all the projects and podcasts and social medias, and if you want to buy me a coffee, all of that you can find on thepatrice.com. I was just on, I've been on so many podcasts last week. I was on In Touch with iOS. I was on Mac Voices Live. I was on, now I'm blanking on the name, I think it's Everything Apple. Don't quote me on that. I'll put it on my website.
Yeah, let's put it on your site.
I'll put it up on my website. I've been on quite a few shows, and I'm also finally getting ready to publish the next episode of my podcast. That is the Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com. where I talk to very interesting people about food and food-related memories, like Hawa, for example, that I talked to, and I'm still very happy about.
That
was very interesting. Like I still want to try all that food. So there's that. You can find all the shows from our network at BritishTechNetwork.com. I forgot to mention, if you wanna join the chat, there's a live chat during our recordings. Recording times are, what's that, Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time and for the big show, and Fridays at 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. And if you want to go into the chat and talk to us live, then you can do that at chat.britishtechnetwork.com. And if you want to see all the links, all the cool things, all the articles, all everything we talked about, you can head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then navigate to the 21st of October 2021, and there you will find all of that. Thanks again for listening. Thanks, you guys and girls, for joining me. And yeah, talk to you next week. Bye bye. There we go. That's a show.
There's another show in the bag.
Yes, another one. It's funny how easy that.